started reading my Bible through again. I've got a point where my sentence started. Keep doing it. Keep repeating the process till I die, I guess. I find new things in it every time I read it. It's an amazing book. Last week I preached on Jacob. I preached about the difficulty he was having with the spirit that was causing him and how he dealt with it. And so I was reading through this, that text spoke to me about how to deal with the spirit. And it wasn't very far after that I came to Genesis 39 and I saw a situation that Joseph was in, and he also had a difficulty, a very dark time that he had to deal with. He had a lot of the spirit that he faced. And so I told you last week, Lord willing, I was going to preach part two of last week's message this week. That's what I'm going to do today. Originally, just kind of intended to preach on one of those, and I just felt like the Lord said, no, we're going to talk about both of them. So I don't always know what people are going through. I don't always know what people need when I stand up there and preach, but you know what God does. And so it was amazing to me last week, things people said to me about how that message spoke to them, how they needed that. And so I'm trusting that there's a reason God wants me to come back to the same subject today. So if you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39, we're going to begin by looking at one verse, but we're going to look at many verses as we go along. We're going to talk again about dealing with despair. In Genesis 39, we're going to look at one verse again, verse 20. Verse 20 says this. It says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. He was there in prison. Frank, put us in a word of prayer.
Father, we just come to you, humble Lord God. We ask that you open our minds, give us discernment to your word, Lord God, that you will soften our hearts to what you would have for us, just be upon Todd, just let him empty himself as a vessel for you, Lord God. It's in Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Like I said, last week I preached on those times when we face deep despair in our lives. And last week's message, we looked at Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. And indeed, Jacob was in a time of very deep despair in that chapter. But there are two things I'll tell you about Jacob and the despair that he was facing in Genesis chapter 32. And the first thing I want to tell you about his despair is that he brought it on himself. He did. He really did. He brought it all on himself. And that's the first thing I got to tell you. He brought it on himself. I mean, think about it, friends. In Genesis 25, Jacob took advantage of his brother Esau and took his birthright from him. And then years later, Jacob entered into a plot with his mother to steal a blessing from his father that should have gone to Esau. And don't try to say, well, it was his mother's idea. It may have been. But he was a grown man. And he knew the difference between right and wrong. And he knew what he was doing when he tried to deceive his father. And he knew that it was wrong. The fact of the matter is, Jacob didn't care. He wanted that blessing for himself. And so he was willing to work with his mother to deceive his father and get that blessing. And we saw it last week when Esau found out that they had done this and had taken the blessing away from him. He determined in his heart that he was going to kill his brother Jacob. And when Rebecca found out about it, she sent Jacob to Haran to live with her brother. He was there, I believe, at least a couple of decades. He got married, got the woman, had children, God blessed him. He developed a lot of possessions. And so one day, he decided that he was going to go back where he came from and take his family and his possessions back where came from. And I said this last week, I'll say it again, I believe Jacob was a little bit afraid of his uncle Laban. Now why do I think that? Well, it's pretty simple. The Bible says he snuck off in the middle of the night with his family. Now, let me ask something. If he wasn't afraid of Laban, why would he sneak off like that? Fact of the matter is, he was afraid of his uncle, and so he snuck off at night. And then, you know the story, Laban saw they were gone, he pursued them, and he caught up with them, and they had a little bit of a confrontation, if you will, but finally Laban said, well, I'm going to return home, you go your way. But here's the problem. Like I said, he was afraid of him, and I think really he thought his uncle was up to something. I don't think he trusted Laban, not one bit. I think he thought, you know, he says he's going home, but he may sneak back up on me and try to do something to me. And so basically, Jacob grew eyes in the back of his head. And then to complicate matters, as they're going on, he's got Laban behind him, and he finds out in front of him is his brother Esau, who has 400 men with him. Now let me ask you something. If you had been Jacob and you had done to Esau what you had done to Esau all those years ago, and you knew that when you left, Esau wanted you dead, and then you hear as you're coming back that Esau's coming to meet you with 400 men, what conclusion would you draw? You probably draw the same conclusion Jacob drew, and that was that Esau was still mad and wanted him dead. And so he has Laban behind him, he has Esau in front of him. He honestly felt like he was in a rock and a hard place, and he didn't know what to do. And so we saw it last week. What did he do? Well, he sent his family off, and he went off to be by himself. And even though the Bible doesn't say it, I still contend that he went off by himself to pray and have time with the Lord. Now, we all know the story, don't we? The Lord showed up, and it says, the Lord wrestled with him. Now, I've read commentary after commentary after commentary. I just got to say this again. So many places I read it says he wrestled with an angel. My Bible on the side note says he wrestles with an angel. I do not believe this was an angel. You know why I don't believe this was an angel? Because it doesn't say he wrestled with an angel. It says he wrestled with a man. And then after it was all over, what did he say? I've seen God face to face. He didn't say I've seen an angel face to face. He said I saw God face to face. And then later on, when he's talking to his son Joseph at the end of Genesis, he talks about how God blessed him back in Canaan and how he had seen God face to face. He never says this was an angel. I don't believe this was an angel, friends. This was the pre-incarnate Christ that appeared to him on that night in the moment of his greatest despair.
Amen.
Now, it says they wrestled. Okay, now let me just tell you, all right, now, I don't think this was some WWE match, okay? I don't think Jesus picked him up and body slammed him, and I don't think, you know, he ran into the ropes, came back, and got clotheslined. I don't think that's how this was. I don't think it's what's talked about when it says wrestling. I talked about this last week. I'll say it again for those of you who weren't here. When the Bible says that they wrestled, you know what it means? It means that in his despair, Jacob grabbed on to the Lord. And he refused to let go. He just clung to him. And no matter what the Lord did, Lord couldn't get him let loose. He touched the hollow of his thigh, put his thigh out of joint. Guess what? He still wouldn't let go. And I'm going to say it again, there are times, friends, when you and I are going to be in a place of such complete and utter despair, the only thing we're going to be able to do is just go to the Lord and grab a hold of him and cling to him and not let go. Because I'll be honest with you, when those times come, I'm like you. I usually don't know what to do either. So I do the only thing I know to do, and that's what Jacob did. And I just go and I cling to him. I latch on to him and I hold on tight. Again, Joseph brought it all on himself. His problems were self-inflicted. Joseph, on the other hand, who was the son of Jacob, we see him in despair here in our text this morning also, but I'm going to tell you this morning, he didn't do anything wrong. His despair was not self-inflicted. His despair lasted for a much longer time than Jacob's did. Yes, friend, sometimes you and I are going to get in a bad place because of bad decisions that we make. But you know what? There's also going to be times when we're going to do the right things and conflict's still going to come. We're going to do the right thing and problems are still going to come. We're going to do the right things and we're still going to have those times of despair. So this morning I want to look at Joseph's situation so that we can see what we need to do in those dark hours when everything goes wrong through no fault of our own. So what do we learn from Joseph's situation? Well, I want to begin this morning by reiterating that Joseph didn't do anything to deserve what happened to him. Okay, we think people going to prison, we think people that are criminals, people that have broken the law, people that have done something wrong. And here we see in chapter 39, verse 20, Joseph is in prison. But I'm telling you, the man didn't do anything wrong. Okay? So let's begin by looking at the events that led him to this Egyptian prison. Okay, number one, Joseph was one of 12 brothers. And he was second to the youngest, with Benjamin being the only one who was younger than he was. But honey, there was a problem. There was a few problems. Number one problem, his dad Jacob favored him and loved him above all the other brothers. And how do I know that? Well, I know that because Genesis 37, verse 3 says very plainly, it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children." That's what the Bible says, friends. That ain't not drawing a conclusion. That is, God says that his daddy Jacob loved him more than all the other children put together. Daddy loved him above all the other children. And then he goes on in the very same chapter, and it says that the brothers knew this, and they hated him because of it. They resented him. There were a couple other things that caused Joseph some problems. To begin with, and this is probably the only mistake I see that he made, he had a dream. And I think he very foolishly, and I don't think he was trying to rub anything out, I think he was telling his brothers, "Hey, I had a dream, and this is what it was." But here's what the dream basically said. It said that someday the brothers were going to be servants to him, okay? And I'm telling you what, they didn't like that at all, okay? That made him hate him even more, okay? Honestly, that made him hate him even more, because basically the dream said Joseph would eventually reign over his brothers. And if you know your Bible, you know that was what actually happened. And this is probably the only mistake Joseph made, telling his brothers about the dream, because in Genesis 37, verse 8, it says they hated him even more because of the dream. There was another problem, and that was their daddy also made Joseph this very nice coat. The Bible says it was a coat of many colors. It was something very special that he gave only to Joseph and not to any of his other sons. As a result of that, Genesis 37, we see that Joseph's sons began to conspire to kill him. That's right, to kill him. You thought your family was dysfunctional. Okay? They were going to kill him. Okay? That's what they wanted to do. And one day, out in the wilderness, they just about did do it, but Joseph's older brother, Judah, kind of came to his senses, and he had second thoughts about killing his little brother. And so he talked to the other brother and said, "Hey, why just kill him and leave him here? Let's do something for us. Let's sell him." And so that's exactly what they did. They sold him to the Ishmaelites, and they ended up taking him down to Egypt, where he was bought as a slave by a man named Potiphar. Now, Potiphar was an officer of the Pharaoh. He was an important man. But one day, Potiphar was gone. Potiphar's wife, well, I don't know how to say it, I'll end this. She put the moves on him. She wanted to have an affair with him. But Joseph, he was a man of integrity. And he told her no. And I think she got mad that he told her no, because the next thing she did is she went out crying and he tried to rape her. When Potiphar found out, he had Joseph put in prison. Let me read about it right here in verse 20 in chapter 39. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Here's the thing, friends. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't deserve this. Do you know what? Sometimes you and I are going to face dark hours in our lives that are going to come our way through no fault of our own. Sometimes we are going to face dark hours for no other reason than we did the right thing. You know what I have found over the years, and I have found this to be true with lost people, I have found this to be true with family, I have even found this to be true with church people. People that don't do the right things hate people that do. Okay? And when they see you doing the right thing, and they're not doing the right thing, guess what you're doing? You're making them look bad. So guess what they're going to do? They're going to do the same thing they did to Joseph. They're going to hate you. He ends up in prison, not because he was a criminal, not because he broke the law, not because he did anything wrong. He ended up in prison through no fault of his own. And sometimes, friends, things like that are going to happen to us. And you know, it's bad enough. Okay, it really is. It's bad enough when I do something stupid and I pay a price for it. And yet that causes me grief. And I think to myself, I should not have done that. But I'm telling you, it's even worse when you do what's right and you pay a price for that. You talk about causing me grief, talk about causing me despair. Indeed, well, and here's Joseph in prison for no longer his own. This brings me to the next point. And that is that this time of despair that Joseph faced, honey, it lasted for a long, long time. Now, I've studied this out, and I've come to the conclusion Joseph didn't spend a few weeks in this prison. He didn't spend a few months in this prison. Joseph spent years in this prison. And if my calculations are correct, he was in prison somewhere between 14 and 15 years. That's a long time to be locked away for something it didn't do. Let me ask you something. If you were put in prison and had done nothing wrong, and you spent 15 years of your life in prison for nothing, would that cause you any grief?
Yeah.
Would that cause you to have despair in your heart day after day after day, sitting in that cell, thinking that you're never going to leave? Well, honey, how do you think Joseph felt? I have to say, the longer this drug on, the deeper Joseph's despair grew. Friends, there is no doubt in my mind he wanted this to end. This wasn't no vacation. It wasn't, oh, well, here I am. I'll just make the best of it. Because in chapter 40, guess what happens? Two of Pharaoh's servants get put in prison also. One of them was a butler. One of them was a baker. And both of them had dreams while they were in prison. Well, guess what happened? Joseph interpreted the dreams for him. And he told the butler, he said, listen, here's what your dream means. He says, in 3 days, Pharaoh's going to come fetch you out of here and restore you back to your position. And then he looks to the baker and he says, now here's what your dream meant. Pharaoh's going to come get you in 3 days. He's going to fetch you out of here and he's going to hang you. Well, guess what? Joseph was right on both counts. And indeed, the butler was restored to his position and the baker was put to death, just like Joseph said. But I want you to look at what Joseph says to the butler in chapter 40, verse 14. He's interpreted their dream for him. Now listen to what he says. He's talking to the butler here. He says, but think on me when it shall be well with me. In other words, when you're fetched out of here a few days and Pharaoh restores you, I want you to remember me. That's what he's saying. And he says, when I pray thee unto me to make mention of me unto Pharaoh and bring me out of this house. Why would he say that? I'll tell you why he said it. Because he didn't want to be there. He wanted his freedom back. He wanted out of that prison. And so he knows this is a man who deals with Pharaoh every day. And he says, listen, man, when this dream comes to pass in 3 days and they come and they get you and you're restored, please don't forget to tell Pharaoh about me and have him send for me and come and get me out of this place. But apparently the butler was really, really grateful for what Joseph had done for him. Because look at chapter 40, verse 23. It says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Oh, don't you love grateful people like that? Forgot all about him? Friends, let me tell you something. This time of deep despair that Joseph faced lasted for years. Joseph just had to endure. This brings me to the third point of the message, and that was that Joseph was powerless to deliver himself from the despair that he was enduring. Like I said, friends, he spent 14 or 15 years in this prison. He didn't want to be there. Chapter 40 shows us that. Don't you think if he could have got himself out of prison, he would have? But he couldn't. Why? Because he was powerless to do anything. As much as I hate to say it, in our own lives, friends, we are often faced with difficulties and problems that cause us great despair, and very often our despair will last for a long time as well. But just like Joseph, when we're filled with that despair, we are often powerless to deliver ourselves from. Now last week we saw in his time of deep despair, Jacob grabbed onto the Lord and clung to him. He got a hold of God and he refused to let go. And friends, when we face times of deep despair in our own lives, that's what we need to do. We need to grab on to God and hold on to him for dear life. And very often, the situations that will come our way that cause us despair are going to be like Joseph's, and that they come to us through no fault of our own. When they do, friends, we need to cling to the Lord and hold on to him no matter how long it takes. Because very often, The Lord is going to allow difficulties to come into your life, even though you didn't do anything wrong. Sometimes the Lord's going to allow difficulties to come into your life, even though you did everything right. And there's going to be a temptation when that happens. And I promise you, when that happens, Satan is going to come. And he's going to get in your head, and he's going to try to convince you that God has forgotten you, that God has abandoned you, that God doesn't care about you, that God doesn't care about your problem. But I figured something out a while back. Sometimes the Lord allows us to face situations where we have every reason not to trust him, just to see if we will. Think about it. Sometimes he gives us reason to not trust him. Just to see if we will. Just to see if we will. Like I said last week, anyone can trust the Lord when everything's going well. You don't have to be no spiritual giant to trust in the Lord when everything in your life is going like you want it to go. Okay? But I'm telling you, it takes a man or a woman with great faith to continue to trust the Lord when there's lots of reasons not to. Do you think Satan worked on Joseph in that prison? Do you think Satan came and said to him, hey, I thought God loved you. Hey, I thought you were favored by God. If you're so daggone favored, why has God left you here to rot? I said, anybody can trust him when it's good. But it takes a man or woman with great faith to trust him when everything goes wrong. The situation caused Joseph a lot of despair, and it lasted for a really long time. He was powerless to deliver himself from the situation, from the despair that it brought him. And this brings me to my next point, that even though it did not come as quickly as Joseph would like to see, you know what? Eventually the Lord did show up, and the Lord began to move powerfully in Joseph's life. Now we come to Genesis 41, and we see that as we read along, I'm going to kind of give you a synopsis of this, that Pharaoh had a dream. And I think it bothered him. And so let me ask you this real quick. Who do you think caused all these people to have all these dreams? Do you think it was just a coincidence? No, I don't believe that at all. And it was not dumb luck. Okay, let me tell you. It was the Lord who caused these men to have all these dreams. Okay? And let me tell you something. I want you to remember, he's working in all things, right? Isn't that what he said? In Romans chapter 8, he is working in all things. And when the butler heard that Pharaoh had a dream, he remembered how Joseph had interpreted his dream. And so he went to Pharaoh and he told Pharaoh about it. And so look what it does here in verses 9 through 13. In chapter 41, verse 9 through 13. So then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man and a Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dreams did he interpret. Verse 13 says, and it came to pass, as it be interpreted to us, so it was. Me, he restored unto my office, and him he hanged. Butler had one of these moments. Oh, yeah, I forgot. There's a little Hebrew boy sitting in prison, too. He'd been there for a long time. That boy can interpret dreams. Well, Pharaoh heard this, and Pharaoh said, well, we need to bring that boy here right now. So the Bible says they cleaned him up, gave him some nice clothes to wear, and brought him in before Pharaoh. And once Joseph interpreted the Pharaoh's dream, I want you to look what happened next. Chapter 41, let's begin at verse 39, because this is what God did. Verse 39. It says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And verse 44 says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land. Friends, this was not a coincidence. This was not dumb luck. This was God working in the situation. And as we look at this, we need to remember that the Lord can still change our circumstances quickly. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what you're facing today. You may have faced it for a while. But I promise you, if you be faithful, God will show up just the right time, and he can change your circumstances. Tell you what else I think God can do. I think God can change the circumstance of the church quickly too. I may not do it as quick as we want. But I believe if we're faithful, I believe God will show up, and I believe God will do something powerful, just blow us away. God can change circumstances quickly. I mean, think about this, friends. In the course of just one day, the Lord elevated Joseph from being a prisoner to being the second command in Egypt. All those years, Joseph spent in prison wondering if it was ever going to end. All those years, he had been filled with such despair. He had been betrayed by so many people, and he had suffered so many things through no fault of his own. And there, in just one day, the Lord showed up and changed everything. Boy, our God is an awesome God. Amen?
Amen.
And God can still do the same kind of things in our lives and in our church today. And this brings me to the final point. That is when we face difficult hours, and when we have hearts that are filled with despair, and we have all these reasons to think, well, maybe God has forgotten me. Friends, we need to stop and remind ourselves God has a purpose in all that he does. Now, I'm talking from personal experience. I have found that the Lord, usually when he does something, doesn't just have one purpose. He generally has multiple purposes. See, he's God. He can do a whole lot of things at once, okay? And he can do a whole lot of things through one situation, okay? He really can. And I'm sure he was working in a lot of different ways in Joseph's life throughout this ordeal. But the primary reason God allowed all of this to happen was that he was working in this situation, are you listening to this? To bring salvation to sinful people. That's really what this is all about. God is at work to bring salvation to sinful man. Now, Joseph, he sort of realized this, but he didn't really realize the magnitude of what God was actually doing. But I want you to look at what he says here in Genesis chapter 45, verses 4 through 8. It says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you, and they came here. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me this. He says, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are yet 5 years in which there shall neither be hearing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8 says, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. You see, he realizes when he's calling his brothers to him, this is where he reveals to his brothers, oh yeah, guess who I am? I'm your younger brother that y'all sold into slavery years ago. He said, don't be worried. Because God was at work. God had a plan. God was doing something. You see, he understood that God was working in everything that had happened. And after Jacob died, Joseph's brothers, they got worried again. They were just sure, well, my daddy's dead. He's going to try to get even with us now. And so in Genesis chapter 50, he brings them before him again, and he tries his best to reassure them in verses 19 and 20. And I like what he says here. He says, and Joseph said unto them, fear not. For am I in the place of God? He says, but as for you, listen to this. But as for you, he tells his brothers, you thought evil against me. But God meant unto good. Listen to this. To bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people's lives. Now when Joseph said this, he was correct. But what he was saying here was incomplete. He was right. God had allowed all this to happen to save not only Joseph and his family from this famine, but also hundreds of thousands of people who would have starved to death had this not happened. Friends, in actuality, it's much deeper than this. It's much deeper than just saving people's physical lives from starvation. Because I want you to think about it, friends. Who was one of the brothers of Joseph? It was Judah. The one who had a change of heart and talked his brothers into selling him into slavery rather than killing him. And who was a famous descendant from the line of Judah? Oh, yeah, it was David. And who came from David's line? Oh, yeah, that's Jesus. It's from the line of David. Thank God preserved all these people throughout time in order to bring the Savior, Jesus Christ, into this world. Joseph in chapter 50, verse 20, did not know how true of a saying he was saying when he said that God had meant it all for good to save much people. But I want you to realize it wasn't just saving these people from physical starvation. It was saving people from their sin. Think of the millions and millions of people down through the ages who have been saved because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And had God not put Joseph in that prison when he did, how would Judah have survived? Where would David have come from? Where would Christ have come from? See, God put Joseph in that prison because he needed Joseph to be in the right place at the right time to accomplish his eternal purpose. And I guarantee you today, whatever it is you might be facing, God has a purpose for your problems as well. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You may not like the circumstances you're currently facing, but I promise you, God still has a plan. God still has a purpose in all that. And you may have to be like Joseph, and you may not know for a long, long time what it is that God is doing. But friends, even if you don't know what God is doing, even if your difficulty has been going on for a long time now, friend, you still need to trust Him. I figured this out a long time ago. The Lord knows what He's doing. And He says He is working in all things that happen to us in this life. He's working for our good. Those difficult hours come. Those times of deep, dark despair come into our lives. I want to say this. We either believe that promise or we don't. I'm going to make you a promise this morning. You will never conquer despair until you learn to trust Him. I don't care what you're facing today. The Lord still loves you. The Lord has a purpose, and He has a plan for everything that you're going through. And someday, the Lord is going to do for you what He did for Joseph, if you'll remain faithful. He's going to show up at just the right time, and in just the right way, and He will move powerfully to change your situation. So trust Him until that time comes. Friend, if the Lord is working in all things, and He is, then I promise you, He will not forget you. The Lord will not leave you hanging. He will not let you down. But what He will do is show up at just the exact right time. Now, it may not be the time you want Him to show up, but I promise you, He'll show up when you need Him to show up. When He does, He'll change everything quickly. Just like Joseph, He'll turn your grief and despair into joy and gladness. So trust Him, friends. Grab on to Him. Cling to Him. Don't let go. And I promise you, no matter what you face, He will never let you down. God didn't let Jacob down, even though most of his problems were self-inflicted. And He also didn't let Joseph down. He'd done absolutely nothing wrong. I make the promise today. He will let you down. Trust Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, Your word tells us that Your word is written. Give it to us, Lord, as an example that we can follow. And Lord, we see in Jacob's example that we looked at last week, Lord. we shouldn't do, and we bring things upon ourselves, Lord. We see that you still love us, and you don't write us off. Lord, we also see in Joseph's situation that, Lord, even when we do the right things, we still suffer. Lord, when problems come to our life, and we're filled with grief, and we're filled with despair, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be like these men. Just to cling to you, just to trust you, just to remain faithful, and wait on you. Lord, I know, Lord, that we all face things in this life that cause us a lot of despair. And Lord, I'm confident there are people in this room right now, Lord, who are facing difficulties, Lord, that they just don't know what to do with. God, I pray they come and just give those things to you. Just trust you, Lord, to move in your way and in your time. And to believe, Lord, that someday soon you're going to move in their situation just like you did Joseph's. Change everything around. Turn their grief to gladness. God, help us, Lord, to trust you. It is so easy, Lord, to trust you when everything's going well. Lord, when those dark times come in our life, Lord, it sometimes becomes a different story. Lord, we know we need to trust you most in those hours. So, Lord, if there's one here today facing difficulties, I pray they just come and give it to you and leave this place, Lord, having left the problem with you, trusting that you will work in your hand. God, we love you. We thank you for the grace, for the mercy, the blessings, and love that you show us each day. Thank you most of all for Jesus, your Son, and the salvation he has made possible for us. Help us now, Lord, in this invitation time. Bring those who need to come. We give you all praise and honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.